Jesus' mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Here we have Mary, the mother of Jesus, giving some very specific instructions, specific directions to these servants. They're at this wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. Cana's on the other side of the hill from Nazareth, so this is their home territory. This is probably some kind of a family wedding that they've gone to. Really, they have no business in doing anything here, but there's bad news. The wine has run out. The party is going to be ruined if they don't get more wine. And Mary goes to Jesus and says, "We need help." Now, last year, I focused in on this story, and I talked about the jars, and I talked about the rites of purification. I talked about how this was a foreshadowing for Holy Communion. I'm not going to rerun that sermon this year. You don't want to hear a rerun this year. I'm going to look at something completely different. Or maybe not so different. These opening words from Mary. Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever Jesus says. Tells you. Now, that sounds like sound advice, doesn't it, to you? Are you dead? That sounds like sound advice, don't you think? Do whatever Jesus tells you. That's sound advice, right? Thank you. Finally, you're alive. I mean, the wine is gone. There's a little desperation here. They don't have Kool-Aid in the bottom of their little pitcher. When I was in seminary, we had the weekly disappointment. We called it the Duke Divinity Weekly Disappointment. It was actually the school's newsletter. And on it one week, it was, I think it was this week, the week of the week that the lectionary assigned this story to be preached on, as it does just about every year. There was a cartoon there, and the cartoon depicted the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, and there's a bunch of guys gathered around a table, and the bottles of wine, the levels of the wine in the bottles are getting lower and lower and lower, and the people at the table are all getting drunker and drunker and drunker, except for Jesus, who's kind of sitting in the middle looking at a glass of water in front of him. And so that's the first part of the panels. The next panels show Jesus putting out his hand over the water goblet in front of him, and with successive panels, you see the liquid in the goblet going from water to something darker, until finally, it's a nice, rich, beautiful, like Merlot, beautiful-looking wine. And the last frame of it shows all the drunks at the table with their arms around Jesus singing, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Yeah, I got to tell that one. I had to tell that joke, yeah. So, I mean, we can focus in on the elements of the story, but I want to focus in on how the story begins, where Mary says, "Do whatever he tells you." Do whatever he tells you. Don't you think that's good advice? Yes. Your answer is yes. Don't you think that's good advice? Good. I knew I was preaching to a bunch of heathens. I'm one myself, but come on. We know we're supposed to do what Jesus tells us to do. The problem is, if you look at the church world today, you wonder, is Jesus telling us to beat on people and judge people and not forgive people and not love people and hate people, or what? What is Jesus teaching us to do? Do whatever Jesus tells you to do. That sounds like a really good direction for the church, don't you think? Yes. Then why don't we do it? It's hard. Honesty. Thank you. Let's look at a little bit of what Jesus told us to do. Now, the greatest commandment. Okay, this sounds like a good one. Let's start with the greatest commandment. The most important thing that Jesus had to say. When he was asked, what is the greatest commandment in Scripture? What did he say? He said to the person who asked the question, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all," not some, "all the law and the prophets." Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. That's the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, most of us will say, well, that loving the Lord our God is going to be, you know, that ought to be kind of easy, I think. And what about this part about loving the neighbor as yourself? Now, come on. Can I choose my neighbor? Here's my neighbor here, but not over there. And as I've said many times, what's that wonderful song from Sesame Street? Who are the people in your neighborhood, in your neighborhood, in your neighborhood? Oh, who are the people in your neighborhood? They're the people that you meet each day. I learned that when I was little, watching Sesame Street on Channel 13. Love God and love neighbor. That's the greatest commandment. How about the golden rule? We've all heard of the golden rule. He who has the gold rules, right? No. In everything, yes, it's the other one. In everything, do to others before they do unto you. There, that's it. That's the other golden rule, isn't it? No. In everything, not in some things, in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets. Wow. So love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Imagine that. Do whatever Jesus tells you to do. Let's keep going. Well, okay, we can love the Lord our God, we can love our neighbor as ourselves, and we can do unto others as we would have them do unto us. But what's this, you know, come on, can't we just kind of hang on to those things that have been done wrong against us and just sort of hang them over people? No. Whenever you stand praying, and you know, you can do this as you sit praying as well, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Or in the commentary that follows the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples over in Matthew chapter 6, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others," it's always a but here in there, "but if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." I like how the Presbyterians put it. Debts and debtors. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or the ecumenical and Episcopalian version, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." That just kind of says it plainly, doesn't it? You mean you've got to forgive in order to be forgiven? More accurately, you've got to forgive in order to receive forgiveness. Do whatever Jesus tells you to do. Forgive. I don't want to forgive. Sorry. Okay, well, we can forgive our neighbors. We can forgive our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can forgive our, this is going to be hard, friends. We can forgive our fellow church members. But what about our enemies? Jesus talked about that too. "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." That sounds like the world, doesn't it? "But I say to you," Jesus speaking. This is in red in my Bible. "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Let's make it concrete. "But I say to you, love the members of ISIS and pray for the members of ISIS who persecute you." I watched one of those videos of one of the Christians being beheaded, who in the midst of it, before they actually killed him, he cried out in a prayer, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." The very words of Jesus dying on the cross. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. We're called even to pray for and forgive our enemies. Don't you know it's a political year? We've got campaigns going on. There's going to be lots of voting and lots of campaigning, lots of candidates trying to hypnotize us into voting for them. Can't we hate the people in the other party for a little while? No. No. Do whatever Jesus tells you to do. All right, well, if we have to do all this, if we have to love God and love neighbor, if we have to practice the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, if we have to forgive, then certainly we can do it openly for everybody to see us and like us for doing it, right? Wrong. Whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues, kind of like I'm doing right now. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. It's Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6. Wow. Don't pray for other people to see and hear you praying. Jesus isn't done, by the way. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Brian, we're going to be at a clergy covenant day on Thursday, and I'm going to tell our wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ here that we are going to hear a whole lot of this heaping up of empty phrases in prayer, trying to impress the bishop. Yep. One of my first prayers here was a prayer over a meal. I think I said something like, after the Lord be with you and also with you, and I said, let us pray. Almighty God, bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies and our bodies to your service and the hands that prepared and brought it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's eat. Does it need to be any more than that? Wow. Wow. Do whatever Jesus tells you to do. Don't pray for the accolades of others, but pray to your Father in secret. And the Lord who hears you in secret will reward you. Not for others to go, wow. Okay, so we have to love God, we have to love neighbor, we have to practice the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We've got to forgive. We've got to love our enemies. We've got to be not open and showy about our religious life. But certainly we can go around and judge some people, right? Because, I mean, after all, we know how they ought to be behaving. We do all these things. We're good. How about them? Nope. Do not judge, Matthew 7, verse 1. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure you get. I don't think I like that. I mean, if I've got to love God and love neighbor, if I've got to practice the golden rule, do unto others as I would have them do unto me, if I've got to forgive, if I've got to love my enemies, if I've got to pray without being showy about it, certainly I can judge others, can't I? No. Do whatever Jesus tells you to do. Do not judge. The measure you give will be the measure you get. In other words, if you're going to judge, expect to be judged by the same standard. If you're going to pick and choose from the Bible those things you're going to apply to other people, expect somebody to pick and choose from the Bible things to apply to you. What? Well, no. Only we get to do that. Everybody else has to obey our interpretation, huh? No. Well, and in case you missed it, let's go back and pick up another one. John 15, verses 12 through 14. This is my commandment. All right, now we get the commandments. Now we get back to Jesus and his commandments. Now he's going to lay it on them, right? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? He came into this life. He came into this world. He became incarnate in human flesh. He lived among us. He showed us the love of God. He talked to us. He taught us. He loved us. He prayed for us. He taught us how to pray. He fed us. He healed us. He gave us himself. And then he stretched out his arms on the hardwood of the cross and he died for us. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Remember the definition of love that I repeatedly preached on last year. Agape in Greek, it means to consider the needs of another as being more important than or essential to your own needs. Wow. You are my friends if you do what I command you, he says. Do whatever he, that's Jesus, tells you to do. These were Mary's words to the servants. These are Mary's words to us here at the beginning of John's Gospel. These are Mary's words to us. Do whatever he tells you. We begin with water, the water of purification, and we end with wine. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Do whatever he tells you to do. That sounds like good advice. That sounds like a fabulous directive from the mother of Jesus. That sounds like something we should be paying attention to and living this year. Do whatever he tells you to do. I could have gone and preached another 2 hours on the other things that Jesus said. Most of them can be distilled down into those few statements that I pulled from Matthew, Mark, and John. And still, Mary's commandment, Mary's directive, Mary's advice to the servants is Mary's advice to us. Do whatever Jesus tells you. Let me dwell in your presence, Lord. Let me learn at your feet.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2016 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.